الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله تعالى من عشر ذي الحجة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, it is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find Allah Rabbul Izzah had taken it upon himself to protect the deen and the shariat of Islam, the Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout time. Therefore, alhamdulillah, we find that the a'mal, the deeds, the actions, the Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was found in the zamana of wahi, during the days of revelation in Medina Munawwara, is found today as well. The ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned and uttered during those days has been preserved and passed on from generation to generation to this very day. The every ayat of Quran has been preserved and passed on from generation to the next up to this very day, and inshallah till before Qiyamah. Therefore, we find in the time of Nubuwwat, they used to read their salat like we read our salat today. We fast today like they used to fast in those days. We recite Quran like they used to recite Quran in those days. And all the other a'mal that we are carrying out, a'mal of deen, were found in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, and throughout time. But the one significant thing we find missing is the effect that has been promised in these a'mal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made numerous promises for different deeds. For salat, the specific promises on the side of Allah. For fasting, there are promises on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For charity and sadaqah or zakah, there are certain promises on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Promised rewards from Allah. Effect supposed to be seen in the life of a person who carries out these deeds. In that zamana, the amal was found and the effect also was found. The deed was found, they used to read their salat, they used to give their zakat, and they would see the desired effect in their life. In today's era, we find those amal are prevalent, alhamdulillah, and that is a very great ni'mat of Allah also. But on the other hand, we find that thing we refer to as maybe barakah or ruhaniyah, the spiritual aspect of that, is no more found. And many of us, if you look back in the recent past, in other words, in our own life, in our own lifetime, if you look behind, then we will find there was a time when maybe people had less wealth, but they had more barakah. Today there's more earnings and more people earning in the house, but is not enough and never enough. In the days gone by, there were smaller homes but bigger hearts. Today we have bigger homes but smaller hearts. There were more children. Our forefathers had more children than us, and they had more control over those children. We have less children and equally less control over them. There was less ulama, less masajid, less huffaz, but more adab and respect for that. Today we have the opposite. They may have even been sometimes less knowledge also, less educated than us, but they had more amal and more practice. They had more ikhlas, more sacrifice and mujahada, more sincerity. Today we have, mashallah, a flood of information. All the time, a man looks, for example, coming out of the masjid, he sees notice boards full of, mashallah, Islamic information. A man gets an SMS, he gets emails, and in so many different ways, he is flooded with this amount of information and ilm and knowledge of deen. But on the other hand, if you compare our amal and our practice to not only the time of Nubuwwat and time of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, but just to the earlier generation and the earlier days in our own life, we will see a stark and a marked difference. Ulama explain that it is not so much the outer image of an action, rather it is the inner spirit. And this is the theme in Sharia. We find in ayat of Quran, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is more emphasis on the inner spirit with which the action is carried out. One hadith of Nasa'i Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, سَبَقَ دِرْهَمٌ مِئَةَ أَلْفِ دِرْهَمٌ. That at times, the charity of one dirham, one silver coin, if we translate in our day, one rand, for example, can supersede the charity of 100,000 coins, 100,000 dirhams, or 100,000 rands in our day. So Sahaba asked, O Nabi of Allah, how is this possible? One person gives 100, one person gives one, and the other one gives 100,000 times more, but the one who gave one sometimes supersedes him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that person who gave one, he only had two. He only had two dirhams. So he gave that one and he made that sacrifice. And that person who gave 100,000, he had a lot and he had abundance of wealth. So the 100,000 that he gave is much more if you look at it outwardly. The outer form is much more. But on the other hand, the sacrifice, the mujahada, maybe the heart with which that person gave and he separated with half his wealth, which may have only been one coin, one dirham, but it equaled half his wealth, that was a greater sacrifice on his part. So by no means does this hadith mean to water down, obviously, the extent of charity. What it means is that the sacrifice that is matlub and wanted will go in accordance to how much a person has. And that is what counts at the end of the day in any action. There is more emphasis in deen on the inner self and the inner spirit rather than the outer image. Qurbani, and the days of Qurbani are coming close, Eid al-Adha. That Qurbani and the sacrificing of that animal, the entire essence of that is for us also to develop within ourselves the sifat of Qurbani. The entire essence of Qurbani and slaughtering that animal is to develop ourselves spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in Quran, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The meat and the blood doesn't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are commanded to slaughter that, and you are even commanded to eat it. We are allowed to eat from that animal. So that slaughtering wasn't so that we can donate that animal to Allah or for the sake of Allah somewhere. Yes, we are taught to share that animal as well, but we are allowed to eat from that animal. So the maqsood wasn't, and the purpose wasn't just slaughtering that animal or putting that blade on the neck of that animal, but rather it was وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning what is considered in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that taqwa, the sifat, that spiritual sifat inside you, the taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the same light, respected friends and elders, having the outer deed taking place is something else, and the inner spirit is a different issue altogether. Now look at this, for example, the amal of Qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a prelude of 10 days. 10 days or 9 days up to the day of Qurbani. And from that, for those 9 days, we are trained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to engage in certain a'mal, certain deeds to also increase our spirituality, increase our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our taqwa, our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are taught in the hadith of Muslim Sharif that as soon as the hilal of Dhul Hijjah is sighted, which could be tomorrow at Maghrib, on Saturday Maghrib, then as soon as it is sighted, a person who is going to slaughter an animal on Eid should then abstain from removing any unwanted hair from his body or paring his nails, etc., up to after he slaughters his animal. This is not wajib, it is a mustahab and encouraged sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person doesn't do it, he will not be condemned, he will not get any sin, inshallah. But here we are encouraged, and it is mustahab for a person to ensure he removes all his unwanted hair, etc., before tomorrow evening, or whenever it may be before the hilal of Dhul Hijjah, the crescent of Dhul Hijjah is sighted. Ulama explain, why is that? Why does a person, must a person abstain from removing all this during those 9 days? This is normally, if we recall, this is a rule that applies to a haji or a mu'tamir, a person going for hajj or umrah. Somebody in the state of ihram, he cannot remove hair from his body, he cannot remove the nail, he cannot trim his nails, etc., while he's in a state of ihram. So one hikmah the ulama mentioned for this amal, that we back home, we are not there on hajj, but we are told to do this so that at least we can resemble the haji. At least we are not doing the hajj, but resemble him in some way. That ta'alluq and that connection with the hujjaj that are there, in some way we are resembling them. And the haji, at the end of his ihram, he goes, for example, on the 8th morning, 8th of Dhul Hijjah, he'll go to Mina. Then on the 9th, he will go to Arafat. And on the 10th, he will come back to Mina. There he will pelt the jamarat, he will slaughter an animal, and then he will come out of his ihram. So we too, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, when the month of Dhul Hijjah has entered, as if we are also in ihram. To a certain extent, there are many more things that a person in ihram is forbidden to engage in, we are allowed. But at least in this one way, we'll be abstained from removing this hair from the body or the nails. We will remain like that till also after we slaughter our animal. Like that haji on the Eid day, he slaughters his animal and he shaves his hair and he comes out of ihram partially. Similar to us, we will remain like that till the day of Eid. we slaughter our animal, and then we remove the hair. So on one hand, a person is going for Hajj, he's got his ihram on, he is there in the holy lands, he is required to do all of this. And on the other hand, me and you who are back home, and the majority of the ummah who don't make it for Hajj each year, then we are told to at least resemble them so that spirit can come into us. We remember the Haji during the days of Hajj is engaged in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after the sighting of the hilal, this is one amal that comes in the hadith. And after that, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in these 10 days, exert yourself as much as possible in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is that build up for that final day and the culmination of on the day of Eid of slaughtering that animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam in Quran on the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, wal fajr wa layalin ashr, by the oath of the crack of dawn or the morning, and by the oath of layalin ashr, the 10 nights. Majority of the mufassirun say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam on which 10 nights here? The 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ. No action is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on any other occasion than during these 10 days. Any amal a person carries out during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, as I mentioned, which could start on Saturday night, tomorrow evening, any amal done then is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than it being done on any other day of the year. Ulama explain that, in fact, one hadith mentions Ayyamul Ashr, Afdalu Ayyamid Dunya. These are the greatest days in the world. The greatest batch and the most significant batch of 10 days in the entire Islamic calendar, in the entire year, are these 10 days that are about to befall us. These days, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ. Increase therein your ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من التسبيح والتحميد والتكبير والتهليل. That increase of subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should increase, like the haji also increases his dhikr, his labbaik and his subhanallah, etc., while he's carrying out the amal of hajj. During these days, we are also encouraged to keep fast. Besides the day of Eid, which is haram for us to fast, the first 9 days a person should fast, and if he fasts, then وَإِنَّ صِيَامَ يَوْمٍ فِيهَا يُعْدَلُ بِصِيَامِ سَنَةٍ. A man fasting on one day only, during any one of these first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, he will get the reward of fasting for one day, the reward of one entire year. And some riwayat even mention that if a person spends one night also from these nights in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll get the reward of the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. So many of us understand, alhamdulillah, the virtue of Ramadan and the last 10 nights specifically, and thereafter more so the Laylatul Qadr. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this batch of 10 days and 10 nights, where we are allowed now to recharge, reconnect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, develop ourselves spiritually. Ulama explained about 15 years ago when I was in Raiwind, ulama explained there that if a person wants to get the true benefit of the amal, then he must do four things. One is he must do it with ikhlas and considering it the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, any deed he is doing, he must ensure it is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly, he must have some amount of sacrifice. Like we say, there's no pain, no gain. Similar when it comes to deen, there has to be the element of sacrifice in that amal. For example, it's hard for a person to come for salat to the masjid. He makes that sacrifice and he comes, he will be blessed to the barakah of that salat as well. It is difficult for him to part with that wealth. The element of mujahada will always be there. And if he withholds that mujahada, he tolerates it, inshallah he will be blessed with the true effect of that amal. And lastly, they mention fadail ka istihdar, that you must have the fazilat of that action in your mind. You must have the fadila and the virtues that are mentioned in the Quran and hadith in front of you. Because when you have that incentives in front of you, it becomes much more easier to carry out that amal. And when a man does these a'mal with these things in mind and with these four points in front of him, inshallah he'll be absolved of the duty of those a'mal. It was faraz. He carried out the faraz. It's no more faraz on him. He's absolved. It may be a sunnah. Inshallah he'll get the reward for it. And over and above that, he will get that spiritual benefit as well. Regarding istihdar, having the incentives of that particular deed in front of us, if we inspect the lives of our seniors, in fact, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever these occasions came, then he ensured that he educated Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He reminded them that these days are dawning upon you. In other words, keep these fadail in front. It was the last 10 nights of Ramadan. He used to ensure he wakes up his family at night as well, that these are days we're not supposed to be missing. And like that, from time, whenever occasion came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would draw the attention of Sahaba to the desired amal of that time and mention the virtue as well. And they say that when a man knows the virtue, he knows the incentive, what he's going to get, it becomes easier. As a simple example, if somebody has to employ a craftsman or some plumber, for example, and, you know, I got a leaking tap at home, but the only time I'm home and I'm free is after midnight. I come home very late. So initially that person may refuse that I also got other things to attend to. I can't free myself so late. But if you mention a very high price, I'll pay you double the amount or triple the amount or whatever it may be per hour. Then he may ask you, you only have one tap leaking, you sure you don't have any more taps leaking? Because he knows what he's getting. So when we have this fadail in front of us, that for fasting for one day, in these days, we get the reward of an entire year's nafil fast. In fact, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, a great alim of the 8th century, mentions that by the virtue of this hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, any amal done now is better than other amal done outside of these days. It actually means that if a person does an amal on this day, he can even get the reward of hajj, nafil hajj, from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever amal it may be, whatever good deed a person carries out on these 10 days, we may be sitting at home and we carry out, we recite subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Some ahadith mention 100 times subhanallah morning and evening. A man gets the reward of 100 hajj. Riwayat of Tirmidhi Sharif, 100 hajj, can we imagine, nafil hajj. So these fada'il should be in front of us, then we will wait and we'll yearn to do it. When we go back home, share this with the family, share this with the children. Children are very, like we say, ma'asoom, they are innocent. They get affected by this. Like this, they will be trained to value a'mal of deen. They will realize that if we do this, inshallah, we'll do that. And they, in turn, they will remind us. They will remind us. It is just a habit of mine. My father always reminds us when we go past the bazaar, the marketplace, to recite the masnoon dua for the bazaar, the fourth kalima. And the reward for that, the hadith of Tirmidhi again mentions, a man gets 1,000,000 rewards and 1,000,000 sins are forgiven and a house is built for him in paradise for reading this dua whilst he goes through the marketplace. So as I mentioned, that habit has now passed on. When I go with my young child to the bazaar or to the local store, then I say to her, let's make our 1,000,000. And now it happens that she will remind me. The point here is that children are such, when we mention it to them like that, they become more amazed than the adults at times. And they will then remind us that let us not miss out on that fadila and that virtue and that reward of carrying out that particular amal. So fadail ke istihdar, having that fazilit in front of us, Ibrahim Nakhai rahimahullah, a great alim of the first century of Islam, mentions, in fact it is mentioned regarding him, that on the day of Thursday, he used to cry, his wife also used to cry. So here he himself having istihdar, his wife also istihdar of what? They used to cry because they would say to each other, Al-yawma tu'radu a'maluna ala Allah. The hadith says that our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Monday and Thursday. So on Thursdays, every Thursdays he used to be crying, his wife also used to be crying. Today our a'mal are going to be shown to Allah. We don't know whether those a'mal will be accepted or not. How many Thursdays came and went in our lives? Did we realize or did we remember that today is a great day? Today is a day when Allah is going to inspect these a'mal specifically. Allah is aware of all our deeds at every given time. But these presentation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for special acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can yield greater reward from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the extent of istihbar they had. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, a great alim of Pakistan, my father's ustad as well, a student of Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah, his khadim mentions that Mawlana's habit was, he used to go to the masjid very early. Soon as the adhan used to be called, he would be in the masjid. He would read his sunnah and thereafter remain in his spot reciting something. So the khadim wanted to know that what khas dua or wazifa, or what is the Mawlana reading at that time? Maybe we can follow as well. We can learn from that habit. And definitely, respected friends and Allah, from this particular habit we can learn. And he says, I asked Mawlana, what do you do between your sunnahs and faraz? So he says, at that time, as I'm sitting in my spot, I recite Ameen. I'm sitting and I say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. What does this mean? The hadith of Bukhari Muslim mentions that when a person comes early for salah, he makes wudu when he comes and he reads whatever he's supposed to read and he waits for salah, then firstly, for as long as he waits for salah, it's as if he's in salah. And secondly, the angels continue to make dua for him. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, forgive this person. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. So Mawlana rahimahullah actually was saying, I'm sitting at this time and I'm saying ameen to the dua of the malaika. to that extent of istihbar, that you are aware of what's happening. What are those promises on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is not only for when we're sitting in the masjid, or we're sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem, or we're sitting in front of some ustad. Rather, that knowledge should move with us. That ilm should be taken with us to the house. And wherever we may go, it should always be in front of us. What am I going to get for this? It makes it easier. So respected friends and elders, if we have that, then as we mentioned, that the entire crux of Qurbani was to inculcate in us the spirit of that amal, the spirit of sacrifice, to remind us of the spirit of sacrifice in Ibrahim alayhi salam. And here, by the way, it was that to reignite the spirit of amal, we need to have ikhlas, we need to have the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There needs to be the element of sacrifice and mujahada, and there needs to be this fadail ke istihdar. Have the fazilat and the virtue of that amal in front of us, then inshallah we will be absolved of the duty as well, and we will get that spiritual effect inshallah. Then inshallah we will see those days like how it was before. People used to go for hajj, then it was a moving moment for everyone. The whole town, people used to go to the end of the town, to the bus stop or to the seaport or the airport or wherever it may be, see that person off, and that haji, prospective haji, used to be given, a stack of requests. One person requesting dua for barakat in his rizq, some person dua for a partner for his child, some person some other kind dua for shifa. And some of them may even specify, they used to specify, make dua for me in Arafat. Make dua for me under Mizab-e Rahma, under the gutter of the Kaaba. Make dua for me at the doorstep of the Kaaba, at the Multazam. And this Haji used to go, he would take this request with him, and he would make that dua, inshallah, for them. And at many times, the desired effects also used to be seen. That Haji also used to come back a changed man. Today, respected friends and Allahs, people still go for Hajj, and more than ever before. And today also, when the Haji goes, he is given a stack of requests, but that request is completely of a different nature. Some person requesting a particular garb and particular clothing, some person a particular watch, and some other device maybe from there, and they even specify the location from this particular shop, that particular center, get that for me and come. The haji goes and he brings that and he comes back. But where is the spirituality? Where is the change? Do we see the change even in his life? Is it a moving moment for us also? Are we all crying when he goes because we're yearning also to go? Those days when we were young, we would see the people in the airports crying at the separation of that haji. One is because of separation, and the other is because this man has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When is my turn? So respected friends and elders, inshallah, when we have these 4 points in front of us in doing any amal, then that spirituality, that ruhaniya, that will return. And when it comes to specifically qurbani, then, as a humble request, many of us, alhamdulillah, are inspired to assist people in the four corners of the dunya, in areas where they hardly see meat besides on the day of Eid, places where people are less privileged. And undoubtedly, a Muslim is supposed to feel the suffering, the pain of his fellow brethren. You cannot be part of the body if you're not sharing in the pain of the body. So we should definitely support them in those areas during the days of Qurbani and outside of that as well throughout the year. But let us at least also slaughter here back home, so that spirit and spirit of sacrifice comes in. It's not just the amal must take place, as I mentioned throughout this talk. It's not just for that amal to take place, the animal is sacrificed on my name and I'm absolved. Or that salat must take place and that fast must happen. No, at the end of the day, it is that spirituality also that comes with it. How will that happen when a man doesn't even see his animal in front of him? How will we pass on that spirituality to our children and that lesson to our children, that on these days we got to pass the blade physically over that animal? When a man sends his qurbani overseas, let him do as much as he wants nafil qurbani overseas. But let him do his faraz one year at home. He gets the chance also of practicing upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of personally slaughtering his own animal. There is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another sunnah of if a man doesn't have the heart to slaughter himself, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you can't do so, then at least be there and witness it. If it's happening somewhere else, how is he going to witness it? And thirdly, partaking of the meat of that animal on that day is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is it going to happen if he's doing his faraz qurbani somewhere else? So as I mentioned, let there be many more qurbanis and nafil qurbanis taking place in other parts of the dunya. But our animal should be sacrificed in our own yard or in our own country in front of us, so that we can share in that spirit, our children share in that spirit, and we don't lose that contact with this amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. أخلو دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين